gentlemen, about to begin here shortly.
Carlson is a fraidy cat civic nationalist hiding behind a fortress in White, Maine. He circles the white nationalist fire like a man who feels the 2026 heat but won't jump in. He shows you the open border slaughter.
Even if it makes our own country poorer and dirtier and more divided.
He names the lie that diversity is our strength.
How precisely is diversity our strength? The less we have in common, the stronger we are.
He calls out the forever wars that bleed us for Israel.
The Prime Minister of Israel pushed the U.S. government into a war that hurts the United States.
No one in the United States ought to be an agent of a foreign power.
He sees white demographic decimation.
The Great Replacement Theory. A theory.
And offers what? No elite conspiracy, folks. Just Democrats chasing votes. Nothing more.
The Democratic Party is trying to replace the current electorate with new people, more obedient voters from the third world. There is a strong political component to the Democratic Party's immigration policy. And they say out loud, we are doing this because it helps us to win elections.
This is happening in every white country on earth, not just blue states, not just America. Sweden, Australia, Canada, Britain, same script, same replacement.
I'm an American.
No! Tucker says the goal is political control. They already own both parties. Republicans and Democrats are two masks on the same face. Jared Taylor warned us long ago, import the third world, become the third world. Tucker won't even interview that man. You can cry cheap labor and low birth rates until you're blue in the face.
There's really only one objective in life, and that's reproduction. Pass on your genes so you don't become extinct.
But it doesn't erase the body count. This is white genocide in real time, live, televised, celebrated. He warns that putting folk first will spark division and violence in a multi-ethnic country.
But what would happen to a country in which power is allocated on the basis of qualities you couldn't control, things you were born with, your skin color, your gender, your genetics? That'd be called identity politics. We're in this together. We're all Americans. If you make identity politics mandatory, and they have, how long until you get white identity politics? Ever consider that, you reckless fools? How long before there is no national identity at all in this country? Only warring tribes fighting each other for the spoils. Only the racists want that.
Well, open your eyes, Tucker. It's already a war.
White identitarianism is going to happen, and they want it to happen.
I don't want to identify as white. I don't even like thinking about that stuff. I like thinking about how people really are. I don't like thinking of them as members of groups.
Yep.
And they're pushing it. They're not only encouraging it, they're guaranteeing its emergence.
They're coming for our children, our history, our future. America was great when it was unapologetically white. You're arguing against the very firewall that kept the peace.
So the United States is becoming non-white. Whites are going to be in the minority. So what that means is you're going to get at some point, probably in my lifetime, people standing up and saying, I represent white people. I'm the candidate of the white voter.
Right.
And I just want to say on the record that I'm going to tell that person to fuck off is a Nazi idea.
Bruh.
And I'm totally opposed to it. And I will be opposed to it when it happens to me, when this will happen. Someone's going to, oh, white people. And I'll be like, I don't even know you, dude.
What's his big brain fix? Merit-based policy.
There was only one answer to rising racial tension, which is work toward colorblind meritocracy. And the American way of life is meritocracy. Judge me by the content of my character, not the color of my skin.
Bruh.
Translation. Replace us slower with better paperwork and slightly smarter people. Still replacement, still erasure. The only solution is raw, unapologetic white nationalism. Ethnic nationalism. Every people in their own house, their own lane, their own destiny. I don't care about their problems anymore. I care about ours, our blood, our land, our legacy. We won't negotiate with our own extinction, and that begins with clear boundaries. Time to unburden the white man. Time to stop surviving and start living.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is Thursday. I'm Henrik. You're watching Red Ice TV. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I got my coffee, got everything ready to go here. If you guys got a good show lined up, I do have to take a sip of this first. What is it? Columbi. I don't know what that is. Some cold brew stuff. Anyway. Oh, that's good. Hope you're doing well. Good to see you all. How you doing, chat? Thank you for tuning in. Good to be back with you guys, as always. As it always is. It's always a joy hanging out with you guys. We got some stuff to cover today about the Tommy Tards. They're back. They're going to go back to London, as it were, because they have, you know, another event coming up there. May 16th, Saturday, they're going to do this thing. The multi-racial, multi-ethnic diversity rally for Zionism, apparently. Unite the kingdom. Which kingdom? It's the big question, right? Are we talking about the British Israelite kingdom or the Israelite kingdom or the United Kingdom? The British Isle? What are we even talking about here? What's going on? Anyway, so we got to talk about that. We have the fascinating outcome of the election here, where the Green Party trannies, who are not only white, but there's some Indian trannies too, teaming up with the Muslims. It's kind of an unholy alliance on shaky grounds. And I think a lot of the wins took place in Scotland as well on this front, but there are in other places as well. We'll cover that. We're going to dive into a bit about the question of, it's impossible to answer, but true aid to Israel, because we're going to look at some of the numbers coming out from some of the states as well. In the U.S., because even small towns give Israel to give money to Israel. They give Israel to money. Yeah, there you go. They give money to Israel. In some cases, it's bonds, or they invest in something, or they just give them aid. In some cases, too, by the way. So we'll try to tackle, or at least kind of just go over some of the things we can see on the front end of that, right? Because there's no report on this. There's no national database. I'm sure there's other cities, maybe, or specific countries in Europe, obviously, that do this as well, right? So who knows at the end of the day, right? All right, we're going to talk about Trump is over in China. I'm going to cover that too much, but it's an interesting thing about, you know, how China is the big enemy, but then it turns out that, like, Eric Trump is doing some crypto investment with Chinese companies over there. It's kind of interesting. And we got to look at the issue of Hungary as well. Where is it headed now? Excuse me. Where is it headed now? Should have one of these little pop filters again over, I guess. Where's Hungary headed right now because of the close proximity to the European Union after Peter Magyar took over? There's kind of a counter signaling from some dissidents that seem to be more concerned with Orban's close relationship to Putin. And they seem to be more concerned with getting rid of that and then kind of ignoring what's coming in on the back end of that, which is demographic replacement. That's what it's looking at so far, in a way. We got some tranny as well taking over the education department over in Hungary as a issue as well. And we were kind of like, well, we told you, you got to watch out, because in many cases, of course, the supposed cure for Putin influence through Orban will be worse than the actual disease itself. Doesn't mean you need neither of them, obviously, but you can't also stare yourself blind on just one threat assessment on the map while ignoring everything else. So that seems to be what's happening, as of right now, at least in Hungary. Let's see some trust the plan 4D chess here by Peter Magyar, the Erasmus-trained EU lawyer. You never know, but highly unlikely, to be honest. All right, anyway, so why don't we dive in some of this stuff? Boys, you got to check this out. Something with boats. I said boots. Something with boats. I don't know, or cruise ships, I guess, specifically. They just... there really need to be some type of disease on a cruise ship. Here's another one for you. I think we'll drop the hantavirus for now. But, you know, whatever. More than 1,000 passengers held on cruise ships. You guys doing end towers in chat? You have no interests. I mean, that's fun and all, but yeah, this is, look, pay attention now. This is an important story here. A UK-operated cruise ship, Ambition, is holding over 1,000 passengers in France after 49 people reported gastrointestinal illness. You sure that's not just the buffet on the cruise ship? Local health authorities confirmed 3 passengers isolated in their cabins while disembarkation has been suspended as a precaution. A Ambassador Cruise Line expressed condolences for a 92-year-old man on board. Specifying no related symptoms were reported. The death of a 92-year-old man. So that could that's kind of, he's old, so it might not be just related to some stomach issue, right? Increased sanitation and health protocols have been implemented, and medical teams are assessing the situation. Test results are expected within 6 hours. Norovirus hit cruise ship. Okay, we got it. What is the death rate? Is that the right term? Of norovirus. Sorry, no, I said novavirus. Is a highly contagious but rarely fatal in developed nations, causing approximately 900 deaths annually in the U.S. Globally, it causes an estimated 200,000 deaths yearly. Yeah, it's rookie numbers, right? Primarily in children under 5 in developing countries. Most deaths occur among adults aged 65 and older due to dehydration and other complications. Okay, so it's, no, anyway, I don't know. It's something, I don't know what this thing with the cruise ships is, but anyway, why anyone would want to go on a cruise is just, anyway, especially these days. So anyway. We'll not be keeping an eye on that, because I don't think this is it, but you never know. It's very possible. It's very possible and highly likely, in fact, that they will do that. But anyway, hey, I thought we could talk about Talmud Tommy, shall we? Talmud Tommy's back in the news. Holy shit, everyone's banned. Shit's bad. They're trying to censor us and block us and shut us down and ban us. So this event is totally the real deal that all British patriots got to attend. Because look at the media or something. And it's kind of, you know, I don't think we risk sounding like some deranged leftist just because you critique Tommy Robinson on his awful optics. But the reality is, how is he really different from any shit-lib leftist when you actually look at what he's saying? And we'll look at some of that evidence again later. I know we even talked about this, and it's like, I know Tommy's a retard, but part of our job is to repeat these things. We can't just abandon pointing these things out. There's continuously new people coming into these topics, and they think that people like Tommy is someone who's going to stand up for Britain and help to save and salvage the country against the endless onslaught of the waves of migrants coming into the country. And then it turns out, no, it's actually not at all what it's about. It's basically about just taking your money so that they can continue to demographically replace you as a Zionist op, essentially. Well, you know, obviously extending support for you know, the Jewish state and Israel and all that stuff, but you can't have any ethnic interest and definitely no white identity or white nationalism over there in the UK. And Tommy is the perfect kind of little, gatekeeper for these types of topics, right? He's a creation of them, essentially. So here's the video he released. 2 minutes, 22 seconds of pure performative cringe. Here we go. Oh, really? right. Well, that was a dud, ladies and gentlemen. Let's do that again. It's been happening lately. I'll do what they say in Vanilla Sky at the end there. Tom Cruise. He says, tech support! Okay.
To destroy Britain once.
There we go. Okay. Here we go. Hang on to your pantaloons here, ladies and gentlemen. Because high energy incoming here.
Everyone who opposes us, who wants to destroy Britain, wants us to fail. The world is watching. We cannot fail. The government want you to fail. The terrorists and jihadists and Islamists want you to fail. And the media want you to fail. Do you want to fail or do you want to succeed? Do you want to beat them? If we want to beat them, no aggression. None. Not even if you're provoked into aggression. Win by smiling at them. Do not raise to it, please. It's that important that we don't let them win. No face coverings. This is the reason why. I know some people get, well, what about my job? If you have to cover your face, don't come. The reason we have no face coverings, look at January 6th. We've seen infiltration at many of the demonstrations before. When they can cover their face, that gives the government an opportunity and far left or far right groups an opportunity to come into our movement to destroy our credibility.
Okay, well, just put a bookmark in that. We'll return to the issue of face covering. And the fascinating aspect that he does not want you to kind of protect your anonymity here now with the rollout of new technology and so forth. But anyway, we'll get that. Let's also enjoy together, please. Let's enjoy the build up of the dramatic orchestra music in the background here. Okay.
To have the media use as a weapon to photograph masked people kicking off. So if you see someone covering their face, they are not part of our movement. And they must remove that face covering or leave our demonstration. We don't want any face coverings. We don't want any aggression. If you're
very clear about that, like, definitely do not try to remain anonymous, okay? Because we need you. Palantir needs you on those lists, okay?
Vote. Even if you're provoked, if you rise to it, you're giving them what they want. So smile in their face for this day. Smile and raise above it for your country. Do not let your country down. Children and families and women are coming to this event. This is not an event to bring your anger. I know how angry you are, because I'm angry. But if we want to win, hold it down, lads. Every group has one lad. I was always the lad who does too much, who goes too far. Yeah? So get that lad in place, right? Direct them. We want you, okay? But if you can't control your anger, if you can't not wear a face covering, then please, for your country, don't come. Stay at home, okay? May 16th.
Stay home. Six feet apart. Locked at home.
We're going to succeed. We're going to win. It's going to be the biggest event in British history ever. And the world is watching, and the world isn't just watching, but trust me, they're supporting. Everywhere we're going, they're watching. We're inspiring the world, Britain. Let's go.
All right. Okay. Unite the kingdom. Unite the West. Okay. So that's the video produced by 187... LASCD. Someone know what that is? Anyway. Okay, so that's it. So, but one of his second in command there. Do we have that clip? Yeah, here we go. Here's the second in command here. I think he is, right? Danny Tomo, right? I'm the second in command. That might be an exaggeration by me here, to be honest, but it's kind of interesting that he has the totally different. I don't think he's separated from Tommy. This is still part of the whole thing, right? But listen to what he said here regarding this on what they're going to do. So it's kind of mixed. But what I'm saying is it's mixed messages. If he can't even keep people who are close to him kind of at bay to I look, I understand he was to do the event in a certain way. Obviously, I'm not saying you Britons should show up there and you know, start kicking in the teeth of other people or whatnot. I get that, right? But it's kind of a strange thing with that. Don't protect your anonymity. We'll get to that. But here's what his other guy says here. No. Oh, we got you. Here we go. Okay. 16th of May. So Saturday, this Saturday. That's
morning. On the 16th of May. I do not speak for everyone, but I speak for myself and many that follow me. We are not coming to London to wave flags. We are not coming to London to walk down roads. We are coming to London for 3 days to defend our country, our children, our families, our heritage, and the future of this country.
Well, I mean, that sounds good, right? I'm okay with that, of course, yeah.
We don't care about the moaners. We don't care about the left. We don't care about the infighting, who thinks they're right and who thinks they're wrong. We know what needs to be done. And they have pushed us to this. So make no mistake. On the 16th of May, things change. That's the fact of it.
I mean, the music here is definitely better, right? I'm not opposed to using music in videos. We do all the time to create an emotion and effect and all that stuff. But it's just kind of, it's definitely better music here. Tommy's was kind of like, that's kind of the, of course, not no offense to the boomer waffen here as always, but it's kind of boomer slop, like this multi-ethnic kind of Zionist thing, right? But this guy's like, we're not going to fucking just wave flags.
The 16th of May, things change.
So we're taking it back. We're taking it back, baby.
Be involved in it. The quicker you do, the quicker this ends.
Okay. So, better performance overall, I think, personally. And, of course, again, it's not that I'm obviously counter-signaling nationalism here. I'm just saying the theatrics of this is quite interesting and the kind of different messaging that's happening here, too. Because it's a little bit... I don't know, a little schizo, if you ask me, right? So there's thousands of protesters that are expected to come here, and we'll look, of course, at the backdrop of this of Tommy and some of his comments he's made, both prior and what the whole operation is about, who's funding this and who's funding him and who created him and all these things, right? That it's just like basically a total waste of effort. I think it's important to show, right, that you have a force or whatever, but when the top of that, Tommy Robinson, continuously counter-signals white Britain, white identity, white identitarian politics, what is it really? What's left then? Right? What's left? What is it? The multiracial pro-Zionist, patriot movement where people spend a lot of money traveling to London and staying in hotels and, you know, wasting funds on something that will just be a concert with, sub-Saharan African backdrop singers. And what was it last time? It was the Maori Haka event, and it was a bunch of, like, what is curry tents. And I don't know. It was just like, well, okay, what is this? Like, here's your patriotism has been served. Goy. The United Kingdom, thousands of protesters are to descend on London this weekend as police plan zero tolerance approach. Okay, what does that mean? Well, a number of people have, we'll get into the number of people have been banned also that wanted to go to the event. And of course, this is, you know, this is not good, obviously, and we're not in any shape or form endorsing this. But it's interesting that, and I get it, there's obviously some higher profile people here that have been banned than last time. But, you know, for example, when there's other people that are banned from England, or in some cases, any one activist who's a white nationalist, white identitarian, or a white activist, a nationalist overall, a pan-European, activist, whatever you want to call it, they don't get as much media attention, right? Marcus Sulian, the Golden One, is banned. Was it Canada, right? Last time I think it was, he was banned from Canada. Mark Collett was banned from Sweden, and then you have like, all these back and forth, like Jared Taylor banned from Poland, and it doesn't get the same. This, because here's this kind of the grifting mainstream patriot conservative and also adjacent kind of to the MAGA movement in the U.S. crowd, right? So it gets a little more attention, some people are a little bit more high profile. For example, there's a member of the European Parliament, which is crazy, right? You'd think the Keir Starmer bans someone from the European Parliament, Dominic Trzezinski, right? The problem, though, that it also does actually lend them credibility, much desperately needed credibility, because it's the same with Polish politician Dominic Trzezinski. He was actually going to come on our show. He's going to talk to Lana. And so as soon as he found out that we were like kind of anti-Zionist or anti anti the movement of those people who disproportionately are seeking to replace us, which we, of course, place at the hands of Jewish organized community, right? The Jewish activists and these NGOs and groups like that. It was boom, cold, like no, just total drop off, never heard from him again, right? Some one of his handlers was like, don't touch that, whatever you do, bro. No, don't even go there, right? So it's these CivNat kind of voices, right? Ada Lurch, what's her name? Ada Lurch, I think she's Spanish, right? She's married to Joey Manarino. He's also like a Trump guy, right? U.S.-based commentator. Valentina Gomez, a MAGA influencer. They had their authorization to enter the U.K. withdrawn on the grounds that their presence would not be conducive to the public good. Again, totally retarded, I agree. They shouldn't be banned, obviously, right? But it's a kind of a... I don't know. It's just, this is not my crowd, whatever. Philip de Winter was apparently banned as well. He's from the Vlaams Belang. They're slightly better. They have kind of an internal feud. I think mostly of the younger members of the Vlaams Belang, as far as I understand it, are kind of, they're more anti, they're more questioning of the support of Israel that the upper, or the older people within the Vlaams Belang seem to have. So it's a clear kind of generational rift within that Belgian Nationalist Party. But anyway, so Philip de Winter was apparently banned. There might be a few others. I think they list 7 so far in total. 7 people hoping to attend a far-right rally in central London on Saturday have been blocked from entering the country by the Home Secretary, Shabanana Mahmoud. So that's really who you want to have banning your banning your shit, right? It's kind of interesting. Okay. Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister, promised on Monday to block far-right agitators hoping to attend Unite the Kingdom event on 16th of May, organized by Tommy Robinson. So as you say, Joey Manarino was banned. Valentina Gomez. They don't even list all of them here, do they? I don't think they do. The far-right match, this is interesting, though, coincides with Nakba Day event marking the 1948 displacement of Palestinians during the establishment of Israel. Both events are being reviewed by the Metropolitan Police. AIM claims of a risk of public disorder after the Golders Green attacks, which was the ambulances, right? They were burnt. So Unite the Kingdom is, I believe, was planning this to do it on that day for these reasons, right? Do you see what I'm saying? Not about UK politics. It's nothing about... It's literally to cause just what the Israel-Palestine issue to descend on the streets of England, right? If you're a patriot, if you're pro-English nationalism or UK nationalism, whatever, then you're with the Israeli side, right? That's cementing that relationship. And if you're not, you're a shitlib pro-Palestinian tranny lover. And that's your side, Scoy, right there. And you must choose. You must choose one side, right? Was there a comment here? I think there was a comment here by Starmer as well. See if I could pull that up too. I'm not sure if one of the pieces had it or not. But of course, we do have to talk about the interesting issue of the funders of some of this too as well, because of course we have some of the usual suspects. Why is that showing up there? Internet was restored. Is everything okay? Yeah, still streaming, right? Everything's good? Okay, weird. All right. Look, it looks good on my end. Okay. That was weird. Is that something? That's probably something on Facebook. Is it some spam ad on Facebook? Anyway, so we got to get into this issue of who's funding this here, right? Bob Shillman has donated $100,000 to Tommy Robinson to help kind of fund this. Here they call it an anti-Muslim march. It's you could say it is that. I don't think that's necessarily unfair. I'd say it's more of a pro-Israel march wrapped in a British flag, you know, to be honest. Does that make it anti-Muslim? Maybe a little bit, but, you know. American Zionist Robert Shillman has donated $100,000 to Tommy Robinson's anti-Muslim hate march. This is Five Pillars. I'm not sure. Is this a Muslim infiltration group or something in the UK? Shillman is a Zionist and sponsored sponsor of Islamophobic media and personalities, including Turning Point USA, Rebel Media, and Laura Loomer. Okay, interesting. Trevor Shin is Wes Streeting's main financial benefactor and handler. Chin is an ultra-Zionist, and this is an ultra-Zionist coup against Starmer. Trevor's Shin is... Let me pull that up. I think that was... What's that? UNN's post, I think he had on this. I think it was... Yeah, check this out. Is it David Clues, right, from UNN? He covers this a little bit. I thought we could check this out, where some of the money's coming from. And it's a American Israeli Jewish Zionist that's funding money for a patriotic king, you know, United Kingdom rally, essentially. Check this out for a little bit.
Hello, everybody. David Clues here from UNN. I just wanted to make this video about...
Yeah, Shilman, I know. It's just
the confirmed donation, supposedly, of $100,000, which is no small amount of money, that Tommy...
Actually, it is. For smaller media content creators, it's not. That would be a huge benefit in terms of media. But for these guys, no. These are billionaires. This is it's. But as I said in the Epstein files, wasn't that one of the comments between Steve Bannon and Jeffrey Epstein? They were talking about Tommy Robinson or Stephen Loxley. What's his name again? Braxley Bannon Loxley, whatever his name is. That he was cheap, right? Remember, cheap at any price. I believe that was that Epstein's comment about it. They're getting this. This is nothing for them. This is peanuts.
Robinson has said that he's received for his
Yaxley Lennon. Thank you. That's right. Here,
coming rally on the 16th of May, which is also the same day as there's going to be a very big pro-Palestinian protest, yes, because it is known as Nakba Day, which is the day of the formation of the State of Israel, and for the
just
Palestinian people regarded as a tragedy. But the reason I wanted to make this video is there's a number of elements that are very sinister about this. Firstly, that foreign billionaires who have very specific ideologies are supporting rallies in the United Kingdom. That's the first one. I don't think it's appropriate that people take money from foreigners to push agendas. And the second of all is it traces back to Charlie Kirk. Tommy Robinson dedicated his previous rally to Charlie Kirk. But when you actually get into the brass tacks of it, there is something a wee bit more, let's just put it, sinister about it. Because Tommy Robinson has got lucky. He's got very, very lucky here.
But we're miles off. Okay,
because it's interesting, because every single...
Yeah, I'll play this separately too. I just wanted to give David Clues a shout out there too. I should maybe invite him to a show if he's willing to come on. He's done some good work. Checked in occasionally here and there. So anyway, here's... I guess we could play this then. Dominic Trzezinski here commenting on it. I haven't heard this before. I wanted to find the exact clip of Keir Starmer though. Is he addressing it here? Let me see here.
They want more grievance, here we go. Politics. More division. More pointing at Britain's problems, looking not for solutions, but for someone to blame. Now, that's fine if it's me, if it's politics.
It's fine if it's me, okay. Okay, Mr. Sausages, we will blame you, but you're just part of the symptom. You're not, what do you call it? You're just a visual PR man for you know, for the problem. You're not the root of the goddamn problem, okay?
Politicians, that's the job. But increasingly, it's not. It's other people in this country. And I don't think that's British. That is not the decency and respect that we are known for. But it's here. That politics is with us now. And you'll see it again on Sunday.
Yeah, who did that? Why is there division in the country? Who brought in the migrants? That's all you have to ask. And why? And what's the reason? The Brits are supposed to lay down and die? Anyway, and then of course you get the critique of that, but then you get this meager weakling response to this issue, where basically, you can't. Hey, but at the end of the day, though, we got to make sure that the white British people don't think that they got some kind of like ethnic interest here or some type of identity or something. You know, we're not doing that, okay? Here's your multiracial patriotic slop event, essentially. That's what this is. So it's just, it's fake and it's dumb and it's gay. Now, it doesn't mean, of course, that Starmer genuinely probably, like, he probably believes that, like, Dominic Trzynski is a real, you know, problem. He's a far-right dangerous figure or something like that, right? Selena Gomez, or what's her name again? Valentina Gomez, and some of these other people. I don't think you have to be convinced that, like, Eva Vlardinger Brooke is a, you know, those are dangerous for our, you know, people. So he's doing that, I think, he's not playing some game in that sense. But I'll say that it does help to kind of boost the credit. They're trying to shut it down. They're trying to prevent the people. It boosts the credibility that then this has to be the authentic. This is the thing that they're afraid of, right?
Saturday, at a march designed to confront and intimidate this diversity and this diverse country. That is why this Labour government will block far-right agitators from travelling to Britain for that event. Because we will not allow people to come to the UK.
He's writing a fine line, though, because you have that thing about his wife is Jewish and the Jewish Friends of Labour, or what's the organization called, right? Where the other side is clearly the pro-Jewish side here, the pro-Zionist side, while Labour is trying to kind of like appease the Palestinian aspect to this. I think it's all lip service, to be honest.
I spread hate on our street.
Yeah, ignore the rape gangs. I mean, we can bring all the hypocrisy up here, of course. And you know, these other guys, they do a good job doing it. Let's listen to what he said here.
You've been banned by Keir Starmer, and you now have vowed to sue him. Astonishing.
This guy's Dominic Trzynski is a fraud, in my view. He might have said some good things here and there in the parliament or something like that, but we played clips with him just gloating, is that the right term? Swooning over mixed race marriages, with some Iraqis out on the street with his Polish girlfriend, and he just loved him. He could come here, give me a hug. You're here legally, right? You're just legally here? You're legally, I love you, you're great. You should move here, you know, that kind of guy, right? Fucking weak sauce, all right? It's we don't have time for this bullshit, okay? We need strong voices, truthful, say it as it is, white identity, white nationalism, pan-European movement that's in the true interest of European people. That's really what we need. And these guys are here to give you the appearance that that's what they represent, but it's all weak sauce.
Of course, okay. We are living in a free world, and I was on a diplomatic...
We're not, but yeah, go
passport.
On.
I always travel on my diplomatic passport. So if he wants to stop people from around the world to visit Britain because he doesn't like our views, political views, he has to pay for it. And obviously, we are living in a democratic Western world. It doesn't seem to me to be very democratic. I used to live under communism. I know what the communism is. You couldn't leave Poland. You couldn't come to Poland very easy. So my first impression was, is he a communist? Is this a communism in Great Britain? It's not a free country. And again,
are they commies? Yeah, sure. But let's be clear about the terms here. The primary reason why he doesn't want you to go there is because he thinks that that will encourage white British nationalists to stand up for themselves. That's the reason. It's not some kind of communist. I'm not gonna. There's some. It's easy to kind of end up in a trap. You also kind of have to counter signal those who talk bad about communism because that's kind of tiresome after a certain point. Like communism is just just one facet to the many aspects that they use in order to subjugate you or control you, whatever. It's not about the political ideology in and of itself. These are different tools used. So anyway, I don't want to get stuck in this here, but anyway, he's going to sue. I'm going to sue Keir Starmer for everything he's got. Starmer is done. We don't have terrorist attacks in Poland. Okay. The based Poland. And keep that in mind, by the way, because we'll talk more about that later when we get to Hungary. Because you have had that drift, right? It was based Poland, and then of course, you have had regime change and new governments coming into place, and now it's not based Poland anymore. Now it's migration is starting there, as we said, unfortunately. So then it's based Hungary, and then it's now they have a change there, and now they're also going to get with migration, just like Ukraine is getting. Now it's down to based Bulgaria. It's just drifting further and further southeast in Europe to find your supposed based country. What's next? Based Azerbaijan? Based Kazakhstan? I mean, it's kind of, do you see what I'm saying? It's kind of this cringy, it's like the CPAC event in Hungary under Orban there, right? You can have plenty of criticism of those kinds of things as well. I think he held the line on certain issues, which we're grateful for. But it's unfortunately just a matter of time before many of these countries capitulate. I've said it before, but they're basically retarded because of communism. And many of them try to play catch up, and here they are 20, 30, 40 years later. And it's like, we're going to be just like Western Europe. We've learned nothing. At least we didn't, at least we voted against the supposed Putin candidate or something like that. And again, that's not an endorsement of Putin at all, but I'm just saying that's the opposite. They can just shill the other side as the guys that are going to protect you against Putin. And that seems to be, in some cases, at least in terms of getting the votes that you need, to be enough to get the previous guy out. And then you can bring in migrants and trannies. And then it's like, we dodged a bullet with Putin there, didn't we? So I think it's just a false, fake, stupid dialectic there, that they run with that issue. But anyway, let's play some of these here, right? He's a creation of Israel. And he admits as much of Rebel News, Shilman, all these people.
But that spawned me on to becoming a journalist. So Ezra helped me, coached me, trained me, created me. So I'm very grateful to Ezra Levant. I'm very grateful to... And I know at the time, Dr. Bob's here. I know at the time, Dr. Bob was sponsoring my employment. But that spawned...
Ah, Dr. Bob. So that's Robert Shilman right there, sitting there. Cheap at any price. That was Bannon and Epstein said, right? Never forget who he works for. The real invaders and the architects of the destruction of people in Britain are not coming from the little boats, actually. They're using the little boats and they're bringing them in, it's true. But they're organizing events such as Unite the Kingdom for Zionists on May 16. Even Tommy Tarr plastic patriots are supporting our replacement and the destruction, and the only thing they care about is about singing with their black choir audiences there. Remember we played some last year? Anyway, here's the money issue. Let's talk about the money issue when it comes to Tommy Robinson as well.
Quick question. When was the last time you went on a private jet, stayed at a luxury resort, wore a watch worth £50,000? Because there is a man organising a big march in London this month, telling his followers he is broke, no money, no assets, cannot keep his family safe, without your donations, please send money. And while he was saying that, his teenage son was on Instagram. Private jet steps, luxury resort, designer watches worth £100,000. His dad wearing £800 Louis Vuitton trainers in America. And in court, he himself admitted spending £100,000 of supporters' donations on gambling, more on alcohol and partying. Struggling mums were sending him £20 from their last 40 in the bank. He is not poor. He is not persecuted. He is not fighting for you. He is fighting for his next holiday. So before you go to that march this month, before you send a single penny, ask yourself, honestly, do you live like his kids? Because they are on private jets and you on the streets, angry for free. Think before you march. Talk to your family.
All right. So I don't think that's like a left-wing critique of Tommy, but it's true. Regardless, right? It's and what? So this is not some I've no problem with anyone who's a genuine nationalist to make money. They should make money. They should make as much money as they possibly can if and when they do good work for their people or for their community or activism or whatever it is, right? Obviously. So this is not like, the issue here is that nationalist funding is so sparse as it is, right? So he not only gets it from a Robert Shillman and the money that he needs to pull it together, but then he asks it of the British patriots that could put that money towards good causes to help other groups or other people or do something else with it, essentially. So it is a way to collect and basically neuter the movement of actual nationalism in Britain. It ends up in the hands of a cocaine-dependent swindler like Tommy Robinson, who's not only beholden to Jewish interest, he is an invention of it. So he's there to puncture British nationalism while posing as a British nationalist and ensure, then again, that white Anglos and Britons can't stand a chance to fight back. That's his job. That's what he's doing here. That's why he's so dangerous, and that's why this has to be pointed out. Tommy Robinson claims he's never been funded by Jewish tech billionaire Dr. Robert Shillman. This is another blatant lie. Tommy has been a Shillman Fellow since 2017. The Shillman Fellowship is a funding program to support pro-Israeli journalists and activists. Look it up.
Good morning. I thought I'd have a flick through The Guardian and The Express. The Guardian, which is... In fact, I don't even know how to explain this. This is my experience of this newspaper has been devastating.
Okay. All right. Anyway. Here's another one here then. Zionist financier Robert Shillman has confirmed he'll provide a significant sum to help Tom Robinson's Unite the Kingdom rally. Let's check it out.
But we're miles off. Okay? I'll tell you where we are. We're nearly £200,000 away from achieving that goal. We've got the event. We've got the first free screens. We've got the big stage set up. We've got it all. We've put in the plans and we've got agreements for the rest. We just don't have the finance. Now, for years, people have said, I was funded by a gentleman, a very successful businessman in the United States called Dr. Bob Shillman. That comes about because Dr. Bob Shillman funds conservative media networks. He's never funded me. That's the truth. Okay? But he funded Rebel Media.
Well, you were a Shillman Fellow, though, weren't you? So it's a you're a weasel. What did what lawyer gave you these words to use for this?
Who has a company who gave me my first break as a journalist, and I worked for them. Now I'm in America.
I work for them.
I'm about to go see Dr. Bob Shillman because people use it as an attack against me. You were funded by Bob Shillman. Well, I haven't been, but I'm going to approach Bob Shillman now, and I'm going to ask Bob Shillman. Because everyone says it anyway, Bob, yeah? But I'm going to ask him not to fund me, to fund you.
There we go. it's not about me, bros, okay? It's about you. I'm doing this for you guys. It's true, this, like, a true cult of personality around this guy. It's amazing. And here's a wonderful Shillman. I think he sat down on, was it OAN? One America News, that network, for like a two-hour interview with Bob Shillman. I forget if he has a show on there or something, but anyway.
Unite them for a common cause. I'm backing the upcoming Unite the Kingdom rally because it stresses the importance of maintaining a country's culture. Successful immigration requires assimilation into the host country's culture, not forcing the culture to change to accommodate incompatible ideologies.
He's going to tell you about what type of how migration should work into your country, Goy. Here's now they're the funders of nationalism, while the other aspect of them has, of course, undermined you all this time and helped to bring in all these migrants. It's amazing, isn't it? But don't look at that. It's just leftists. It's nothing to do with, like, you know, Orthodox Jews or Zionism or anything. All right, a couple of super chats here. I'll take these. Charles Turner Jr. Hello, Henrik. In regards to what you said earlier about the going on a cruise, I hear you on that. Years ago, I worked as a waiter on a cruise ship. Whew. Condolences. Shit. Some cruise ships might be fine to go on, but beware of the demographics. I know. This hantavirus is just more fake and gay nonsense. I agree. Thank you, Charles. Good to see you. Hope you're doing well, sir. I appreciate that. Look at this guy. Here's the king himself. Albertus coming out strong out the gates here. Holy smokes. Hi, Henrik. Looking forward to watching this when I get home. Hope everyone is doing well. Take care. Thank you, Albert. Shout out to King Albert. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. We love you. We really appreciate it. Sincerely, thank you, Albert, for your incredible support. We can't do this without you. We appreciate you so much. Setting the bar high. Albert says send a big dono. $360, ladies and gentlemen. He's incredible. If you want to help out, if you want to match that, if you want to try to collectively in the audience meet the Albert challenge, please use donorbox.org/redicetips. As you know, Entropy, they're all out of Fritz. We don't know. They say they're going to pay out in 2 days, or we'll do it again in a couple of days. We'll try again, and that's been going now for about a month or so. So I don't know what's going on with that. So DonorBoss is over. Don't use that. They owe us money for 2 months. By the way, backlogged right there. So if you want to support the show, donorbox.org/redicetips. Just check the write a comment underneath, and you can put your message in there. I'll see that on this end. You can use ko-fi.com or ko-fi.com/redicetips or powerchat.live/redicetv. We appreciate you guys. All right, so thank you, Albert. We appreciate you so much. Thank you, Charles, as well. Appreciate it. It means a lot to us. All right, so let's get back on track here. So we play the Shillman stuff there. I think that's all we need from that guy to make the point of him being the guy that they all go to. Here's the interesting regarding what he said earlier. Definitely don't wear any face covering if you have a mask on. You're going to be expelled from the, you know, the protest or whatever. Well, turns out then that obviously the police in London, the Met Police, is going to be deploying. Don't they already have this everywhere though? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I know there's been a huge movement of what they deem themselves to be Blade Runners, right? The Blade Runner movement to take down the ULEZ cameras. I forget what EULA stand for. Utility Low Emission Zone, or what was it? Something like that. Anyway, so maybe they don't have it everywhere anymore. I don't know. Apparently, a lot of them have been destroyed in different things. But anyway, it's like that they're doing the same like flock cameras in the US, but the UK have been doing this for a long time. But anyway, so they're going to, I guess, deploy extra face recognition cameras then. But apparently not at the neighboring pro-Palestinian protest. Okay, interesting. That's right, ultra-low emission zone. Thank you, Adam Sussin. Ultra-low emissions zone. ULEZ. Yeah, Blade Runners are they're great.
Almost 60% of people believe the technology represents a step towards a surveillance state. Well, let's speak now with former Scotland Yard...
Step towards... They've said this... I don't know how many... I mean, we're... Red Ice overall, when we started the radio show, we're celebrating like 20 years this year, right? And granted, we didn't cover like surveillance cameras out the gate. Conspiracy Big Brother. No, it was almost day one. Yeah, it was that shit. The transhumanist stuff, tech surveillance. Yeah, no, we did thinking about it. I've heard this for two decades now. Oh, they believe it's heading towards a surveillance state. Like you're fucking in one, okay? Not sure what else I can expect from. I don't know what that is, but anyway.
Detective Peter Blexley. Peter, welcome to the program. Now, some people might say that you've got nothing to fear. Hey, it's fine, surely.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's really worrying that these people do not fundamentally grasp what facial recognition cameras are all about. So I'll see if I can help a little bit here. It is a very unfortunate but harsh reality that in the UK there are thousands upon thousands of people who are wanted. Some are wanted for very serious crimes, murder, rape, terrorism offences. Other people are wanted because they were arrested and failed to appear at court. Some people are wanted because they lied their way into this country, and it is later discovered that they're wanted for very serious crimes in their home countries. Some people are wanted for breaching community orders, and the list goes on and on and on. It is only wanted people who are identified by facial recognition cameras.
But not in this case.
There is a database of wanted felons, criminals, scoundrels, fugitives. So when a facial recognition camera is in operation, it may scan thousands upon thousands of faces but it only triggers when it recognises one of those faces from the wanted list.
I think that's a lie.
Anybody else's face that is on that camera is instantly deleted if they are not a wanted person.
Is he talking about what it's supposed to be? I'm not catching this. If this is Peter Bleaksley, assure Britons that facial recognition will only be used for those wanted lists. That's so they're doing cover for this shit here. Are you kidding me? Really? That's what you're doing? GB News? Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, of course. I mean, what do I expect, right? I thought that'd be slightly at least trying to pretend that like, yeah, this is bad. They're gonna do it. But just think about that, right? Massive rollout of like this surveillance tech during this event, and then their Tommy is like, do whatever you do, we gotta get your face on the cameras, okay? We gotta map and track and list all of yous, okay? That's what it is. But it's okay, though, because it's going to be a very diverse event, so we're fine.
Come to our event. Wait until you see the diversity of our crowd. You'll see many Sikhs, many Hindus, many Persians, many Jews, many blacks, many, 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 many.
One more time, please.
Come to our event. Wait until you see the diversity of our crowd. You'll see many Sikhs, many Hindus, many Persians, many Jews, many blacks, many, 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 many.
Man, that's... That's so reassuring. That makes me feel better because, my gosh, if this was white British people who try to do something like this, I'd be aghast. What was the term? They would be gassed. They should be gassed if white Britons try to do anything like that. If it's patriotism and nationalism, it has to be diverse. And if it's a leftist event, it has to be diverse. And if it's any event, it has to be... As long as white people don't do anything, okay? And as long as you give Tommy Robinson more money so that he can assure that it doesn't end up in the hands of actual nationalists and patriots in the UK. Could you imagine Nick Griffin being given the center of London every year to hold a Unite the Kingdom demo? I saw someone write a comment on Telegram. Which is true. Yet Tommy declares himself the most censored man in the UK. Yet he abandoned the UK for Spain and only comes to UK as a visitor once a year for his grift and shekels and helped push the Zionist Great Reset agenda. The Unite the Kingdom protest faces tighter restrictions than the Nakba Day protesters on their movement, with organizers restricted to the Whitehall and Parliament Square vicinity. Okay. Met to send 4,000 police officers or 4,000 officers to police rival protests. So a big gay showdown, essentially. Okay, here he is talking about how all the European countries are gone, but everything's, I guess, fine in America and it's not an issue there. Let's listen.
I think the average American may not realize that Islam is making massive, and I mean massive, inroads in the UK. Where are we at right now? Because I see the UK as really the front line.
Okay, that's interesting. It's rolling. Nothing's playing. Okay, let's get me on there. Hang on.
Western civilization for the fight.
Okay, that's just a clip. Okay. A retarded clip.
For the fight in the struggle for Western civilization because of the Islamic advances there.
London's gone, Paris is gone, Berlin's gone. The visuals you think of, they're gone. 33% of London is English. And the warning I bring to America is...
But as long as white people don't organize against their extinction, it's just like Tucker Carlson. Whatever you do, white identity is Nazism, and we can't have that. Well, what is the solution then? They want you to roll over and go extinct. That's the only... Either you fight or you die. You put up resistance and you organize, or you go extinct. That's what it comes down to.
What I've read in a book, I'm going to talk to you about what I saw.
You're living.
When I was born in 1982, we had one mosque in my hometown. We now have 45. I've seen the decay. I've seen the attack on freedom, but I've also seen the unholy alliance of the left, along with the police, along with the media, along with the Islamists, how they all unite together. And I've witnessed that. The way
that's true, right? So why can't white people unite?
I'll say unite together. The left surrendered to them. The government surrendered to them. Politicians surrendered to them. So they rule.
No,
with...
it's a feature. It's just a tool. It's like someone's wielding a hammer, and all he's doing is looking at the hammer. Oh my God, the hammer! What's the hammer doing? The hammer's taken over, ladies and gentlemen.
Fear, and fear has paralyzed an entire nation, a nation of lions. And the warning I bring to America is.
And again, it's not to countersing. Islam is a huge fucking problem. It's massive. It's a plague. It's a cancer. It's a massive issue all over Europe, and it needs to be purged and expunged. I agree. But if you don't look at the underlying factors that led to the fact that there are so many Muslims in Europe right now, you're going to lose the plot, and you're not going to understand it. And those people and the organizations and the ideology that did it to you will just simply do it again, even if you manage to clean it up.
This isn't far away now, it's here. I've come and landed in Texas. I've gone to Plano. I've interviewed, I don't know if you've seen the interview I've done.
I have.
So I've sat and met journalists, I've sat and met politicians. I thought,
yeah, but Plano, look, Texas is being absolutely flooded by Jeets, right? Indians right now. And he has no problem with them. He thinks that's fine.
It's important to meet everyday American people. And I sat with a couple who have now fled Plano. Because, and she cries her eyes out. Her grandmother lived there. Her mother lived there. She's been forced to leave after harassment by the imported Islamic community. I went to one of these huge...
Is Islam... Yeah, it is. They've imported, obviously, you know, Dearborn, Michigan, everyone knows about that, right? But yeah, it's increasing in New York and Texas and some places like that, right? But it's kind of a smaller, for now, issue in America. It's not that, it's not the most pressing issue. The most pressing issue is to figure out, and this we have done that, but for these people, to figure out who opened the borders and why all these people are here. All the laws that went into effect, all the activist groups along the way, all the civil rights attorneys, all these things that lined all of these things up, right? We'll talk more about it actually tomorrow. There's some discussion and talk regarding the Hart-Celler Act. But of course, as we know, that's only one aspect to it. There's so many along the way. I think I categorized most of them that I could find. It's like a, you know, maybe not 100, but there's like at least, oh gosh, 30, maybe 40, something like that. Different laws and acts and bills and what, you know, that has been passed in order to continue to pry open the borders of America in this case, since they're talking about America.
Huge compounds. Let's not call it a mosque because it's not. It's an entire right. community.
It is.
The roads are called Medina Villas, and I've seen this. This is the
city. What I'm saying is, yes, it's a problem, but it's this look over here, Goy. It's like the issue we covered with the Chinese spy, right, in Arcadia, California. Is it an issue? Yeah, of course it's an issue. But it's minor and kindergarten stuff compared to other type of infiltration and occupation of the American government, obviously. This is just a distraction. It should be dealt with, of course, but in what order? Look at the threat map and the entire picture and see what's the... you can pump the water out of the boat, right? But if you don't at some point find the hole where the water is coming in, your ship is going to sink anyway, and it's the same analogy here. And they're just... They're looking at a certain portion of the water in the boat, ignoring all this other water, and say, here, there, look at that water. All we have to get that water away, and we'll be fine.
It has been planted. You need to understand what has happened to your country over the last 8 years since Joe Biden's opened your borders.
Yeah.
You were used to Hispanic, Mexican immigration. Well, not anymore. Pakistani, Afghani, Somali, they have been brought in. It's planned.
He's not talking about Indians. He's not talking about sub-Saharan Africans. He's only talking about the problem groups that Jews now see as because they're lobbying against Israel or something like that, right? Are they a problem? Yeah, of course. But who brought them
yourself
in?
This as an American audience. Why have Somalians come from the hottest place in the world and found themselves in Minnesota, the coldest place in America? They haven't chose to go there. They've been put there. Your borders have been opened. Correct. Your country's been flooded.
By
700%.
Whom?
Legal immigration went up 700% in your swing state.
Who are the primary attorneys that fought for opening America's border, Hart-Celler Act, all the other ones along the way? Predominantly Jews. Are there other groups? Yes, there are Catholics, there are Protestant, Lutherans, there's even Muslim groups, less maybe in America or so, but like internationally, right? And then you have shitlib international organizations such as the UN and the World the International Organization on Migration, IOM, different type of the asylum groups. I forget there's a number of them, right? So there's a wide variety. But the strong lobbying and the pushing of this as a moral imperative is vastly and disproportionately overrepresented by Jewish groups and individuals.
They don't want there to ever be a swing state. They were changing the demographic of the vote bank. Now,
hang on 1 second, guys.
I've seen how this operates, and I've seen the power of it.
Okay, that's the clip right there. Let me go to this one. Here he is, speaking about the Indian issue, right? Listen to this. Here he is. That's why he didn't mention in Texas. He didn't mention anything about the Jeets in Texas.
Because Hindus and Sikhs have been a great shining example of how immigration can work and can benefit, yeah? How it does work. So to all the Angela Merkels of the world who said they need to open the borders to match because we haven't got enough of a birth rate. Open your borders to Hindus or Sikhs.
Yeah, there you go, right? Do you get it? Right? So a super, super diverse event where all these other ethnic groups are. So anyway, regarding the demographics, I wrote this down, right? As of, you know, these are estimates, and it's easier in America to know the exact demographic numbers because they actually do keep census on race, right? Or at least what you identify with, that's the other thing, right? It's not actually, I don't think it's illegal, like tied to your birth. Is it? It might be in the birth certificate, but you can identify as a race on the census, right? And then that they take into account. So it's not 100% accurate, but it's way more accurate than in many other countries. So it's a little harder when you get to European countries. These are estimates. It's possible that it's downplayed in certain countries, obviously. But unfortunately, America is far worse than the countries that he mentioned in the beginning, which is he's talked about Paris, France, right? He talked about London, UK, and Berlin, Germany. As of 2024, 2025, an estimated 56.3 to 57.8%. So very close there, if it's accurate number. Of the U.S. population identifies as white, and they had this like as only white. They had subcategories and stuff like that too. So who knows? Maybe it's 50, or maybe it's 61. But chances are it's lower than they say, right? So Britain, according, is 2021. So a lot of people are brought in, and again, how accurate is it? But at least the census now says that about 74.4% identify specifically as white British. They had a category just white. Also in Britain, so is that like you're Polish then or something? Or like, you know, other European, I would assume. But anyway, so I just took the white British. I excluded the other group just to try to get it as accurate as possible. 74.7% as white British. Now, is that true? Is the number fudged? It's possible. So I'm not saying that. But it's not some, what I'm saying is it's not some like, oh, Europe is doomed and America is in a great position demographically, which almost seems to be the case of what Tommy's trying to say here. France, again, unofficial data because they don't track it because that would be racist, right, suggests that roughly 75 to 80% of the population is white of native French origin. In Germany, estimates suggest that roughly 82 to 85%, now that's way too low, right? In our countries, it should be like 99% of the ethnic group that is the nation in every European country. That's my belief, and that's what we have to work for, right? Couple of scragglers here and there, and someone marries someone. Yeah, it shit happens, right? But this ridiculous just mass importation of these people is just, it has to go, and it's going to happen one way or another. It's going to happen, even if it's a scorched earth tactic that ends up happening at the end of the day. So be it then. You know what I mean? Estimates suggest that roughly 82 to 85% of Germany's population is white, primarily consisting of ethnic Germans and European immigrants. I guess they included that as opposed to they didn't in France and Britain. And maybe then that's the reason why it's higher in Germany, because they included other European migrants or something like that too. So unfortunately, it's far worse in America than it is for now in many Western European nations, demographically speaking. Now, of course, the advantage America has is that it's a large land mass, and you can go to certain states or certain areas inside of certain states, and it can feel like you're in a white country. It's getting harder, trust me. Very hard in some cases, right? but visually it's harder to kind of see it as opposed to like Belgium or something. Like it's super tight, you know. Actually, I don't know what Belgium is, probably far worse, to be honest, than Germany and France and Britain. Anyway, okay. So there we go. So here's one of Tommy's great Indians. Let's play it again, in case you didn't catch it. Let's play it again.
Hindus and Sikhs have been a great shining example of how immigration can work and can benefit. Yeah, how it does work. So to all the Angela Merkels of the world who said they need to open the borders to match because we haven't got enough of a birth rate, open your borders to Hindus or Sikhs.
They will make your country great. Or here's one of Tommy's Sikhs. A Sikh man stabbed an 18-year-old university student to death with an 8-inch ceremonial knife after claiming he had been racially abused, court hears. Yep. His name is Henry Novak. Murdered by a Punjabi, and it turns out that the police let him die. Here's part of an excerpt from the article here. After he was stabbed, Mr. Nowak tried to climb a fence to escape, but Digwa was aggressively pursuing him, leaving a trail of blood, the court heard. Police were called to the scene, but they ended up arresting Novak after Digwa claimed that he had been racially abused by the 18-year-old young boy. Mr. Nowak was then handcuffed before passing out, lying on the street, bleeding out, dying, because the British police arrested the 18-year-old victim. Okay, it's a fucking farce, a joke. Absolutely, absolutely insane. So that's one of Tommy Robinson's greatest allies right there, by the way. That's one of his Sikh buddies. Ay, ay, ay. Yep, Sikh man stabs 18-year-old university student to death with an 18-inch ceremonial knife. And of course, why? Because of racism. Is there a photo of the Sikh? No, of course not. They're protecting him, obviously. It's the UK after all. Don't even put him in jail. Get him out. Here's another one. Canada. 2.5-year sentence for driver that crashed and killed a Canadian Olympic ice dancer. Young, beautiful white woman here. Sukhvinder Sidhu has been sentenced to 2.5 years in prison for killing an Olympian, Alexandra Paul, and injuring 4 others, including her 10-month-year-old son. He was behind the wheel of his transport truck for more than 16 hours when he crashed into several cars in a construction zone nearly 3 years ago in Melkton, maybe, township, a small rural southern Ontario community. Sidhu pleaded guilty just days ahead of his trial in February to dangerous driving, causing death and bodily harm in the horrific crash along Road 124. The court heard he was working for... Okay, whatever. Oh, I was working very long. So yeah, they favor... They want to replace us with Jeets because they're a perfect slave class. That we've talked about that. But it's a perfect... they can live in the most just absurd squalor and just the most reprehensible conditions. And they're like, yeah, it's fine. And even a slight improvement coming to a Western country from the conditions that they're in some parts of India is a great boon for them. It's a great plus. We have standards, so we have no way of competing with them, which makes them perfect for the predatory financial class, right? Because they can just like they won't complain. You can they won't demand anything. They don't want to try to have some union or something. You know, I mean, like they won't try to have a decent wage and shit like this, right? So that's why. Here's another one. Check this out. This is incredible. And Daily Caller had the piece here. Asian professor alleges that the university relabeled him as white in order to discriminate against him. He treated candidates of Indian ancestry more favorably. Yeah, interesting. Indian professor reclassified Chinese professor as white in HR records to justify denying him a promotion. Amazing. Isn't that interesting? Here we go. Let's go into the Jeet issue here a little bit too, right? The diaspora, They're looking at the Jewish lobby as one of their kind of inspirations here, too. They're thinking of their homelands. They could come to our countries, and then they, you know, bleed it dry and to ravage it and to be, you know, normally kind of pro-Israel supporters as well. It was, maybe that's another reason why they're favored. Who knows? But anyway, here's a clipper from Google CEO Sundar Pichai, basically boasting about him calling back home to the Indian Prime Minister to, like, tell him about this great investment he has coming up and how proud he is because I remember this town that he came from. Listen to this here.
You mentioned South India. I called the Prime Minister of India this on Sunday night. You know, I used to take this train.
Prime Minister Modi.
I used to take this train through the south of India, and there's this town called Vizag. It's a beautiful coastal town. Growing up, announced our... Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, sir. Is that next to a shit river? Look at this. Holy shit.
We announced
ding, 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 India, very good.
Our largest ever AI investment outside the U.S., a $15 billion, 1 gigawatt plus data center, 80% powered by clean energy, with subsea cables going in. The chance to transform a region like that with a kind of investment, it really meant a lot to be able to call the Prime Minister, who really cares about developing the country, and this has been his vision. I know you know him well, too, and so... Anyway, it's extraordinary to see the impact of all this.
Very exciting. And it's a great way to get back. So you really see that this kind of technology...
I think we heard enough of that shit. Yep. What you get. Since 2020, Google and Salesforce alone have accounted for nearly 50,000 H-1B visa approvals. China's the big problem, but let's bring in 600,000 Chinese university students, ladies and gentlemen. Because why not? Okay, here's more here. We go to the Green Party Alliance in a little bit here. In Jews, Indian Americans see a role model in activism. New York Times, 2007. Yep. Indian Americans, who now number 2.4 million in this country, are turning to American Jews as role models and partners in areas like establishing community centers, advocating on civil rights issues, and lobbying Congress. When it comes to lobbying in the U.S., Indian Americans are not Jewish Americans. India tried to build an Israel-style lobby in Washington, D.C., but money, race, and ideology have kept Indian Americans from becoming a political force. So now they're just like, we will just flood you demographically and vote our way into this. But is it race? It's racism. I say we should also control everything like Jews do. But if we can't, seems to be the argument in the article, it's because of racism and we're held out. And we didn't have as much money, I guess, as Jews or something. Modi wants NRIs, non-resident Indians, NRIs, to work like the Jewish or Chinese lobby. See how this works? Yep. And this can mean anyone who's a citizen of India who holds an Indian passport but resides outside of India for employment, business, education, or other reasons. Right, so they want this to work as a JEET lobby, essentially, in the U.S. Now, has it been as successful? To a certain degree, yes, but not obviously as much as maybe the Jewish lobby, obviously. But again, it's also now an alignment of the two, as we've seen. There's a closer relationship, despite the fact of Norman Finkelstein denying these claims and not understanding that, like, what Israel... I think he was criticizing Tucker Carlson or something like that. Where is he getting this idea from that Israel is seeking to, like, cozy up to India and they're choosing India? I don't know, the last year of them saying that they do and all the agreements and all the partnerships and all the diplomatic travels and all the headlines and articles talking about it. Maybe that? I don't know. All right. Anyway, here's more in England. Let's just play it. No introduction needed.
Do you know how much money you can make from illegal immigrants and asylum seekers? The government are literally giving hundreds of thousands of pounds to companies who are simply just housing asylum seekers, illegal immigrants, and they're just throwing money at people.
Like Fagie.
Well, I'm a Jew. Husband is a rabbi.
Okay.
I found a lovely family home, 130k, and I was able to negotiate it down to 102k.
Yep. How are you profiting from it now?
I'm spending 30 grand on it, turning it into a 6-bed HMO.
And then you're going to rent it to professional HMO tenants?
Nope. I'm going to tap into government finance and rent it to asylum seekers.
Well, they do pay a lot of money for it, so I can understand why you're doing that. Do you feel guilty?
No, I don't feel guilty at all. Why?
I guess you've just got to play by the rules of the game, and everyone's got to make money, so you own a lot of properties now, though.
Yep.
And where did you learn how to make so much money in property?
Samuel Leeds Academy.
Do you know how much money you can make from illegal immigrants?
Is that him there? Samuel Leeds? Is this a spoof? She's kind of very obvious about that. The phenotype doesn't quite check out, so I don't know. Is this just to get clicks? They know they can say this now to get clicks? It's possible. But it's technically, it's not unheard of. This wouldn't be a one-off like thing that would just happen once. So it's the idea sound, regardless, even if the video is fake or not. But anyway, my point is also partially why I'm playing it, is to underline the point that you won't see a Tom Robinson talking about these things. Jeets are fine, Sikhs are fine, Jews are fine. Nothing's happening. Just get the Muslims out and we'll be all set. Everything. And then we can go back to our multiracial utopia once again. Now, here's your real problem. Here's your real problem here, the UK. And of course, immigration is a huge problem. So I'm not saying that, but I'm saying in terms of the extension of like who you're handing over the country to as well. Britain's NHS is granting Palantir contractors unlimited access to patients' data, the Financial Times reports. Great. Britain's state-run National Health Service is granting staff from companies, including Palantir, unlimited access to identifiable patient data while working on its flagship national data integration tenant platform, the Financial Times reports. NHS England has agreed to create an admin role granting non-staff unlimited access to the NDIT and identifiable patient data, the FT report said, citing an internal briefing note. And why? Well, England is basically Oracle and Larry Ellison's playground, it turns out, right? Tony Blair has helped to bring this in, digitize everything in the UK, digital IDs, DNA data, blood records, facial recognition, AI will handle all this stuff, right? So Oracle, Palantir on the back end, they all run on the same infrastructure, more or less on the back end. Ellison was talking about the UK's health service and how they wanted to get access to all this stuff. He's the guy who's talking about, like, we'll just do a blood test. Give me your blood test. We'll measure your blood, and then we'll give you this mRNA shot to protect you against cancer. Okay, it's going to be revolutionary. Just hand over your details to us, everyone. Okay, the AI Zios is going to solve this for you. Don't worry about it. Okay. Anyway, here's another fag talking about bringing in digital IDs. Of course, this was quite to be expected.
My ministers will also proceed with the introduction of digital ID that will modernize how citizens interact with public services.
Mm-hmm. You want your UBI?
My ministers will also proceed...
You want your UBI? Your short-term UBI, which is going to be basically like rationed beans and dried bananas? You gotta give up. You gotta get your digital ID, okay? Definitely. This is great. So you got a tech takeover as your country is being flooded by all these ethnic groups. It's a lovely cocktail, obviously. A lovely, lovely cocktail. Okay. All right, let's go to this issue here with the Scottish trainees, because this is kind of funny, though, on one end, right? Because it's just so retarded and so dumb. And occasionally we enjoy covering some of this, because it's just... I mean, it's an unholy alliance, but it's the Muslims are for sure duping these dumb, spiteful mutants, trannies, and for the most part whites, who are in the Green Party in the UK. And you had an election recently, of course. Reform did very well in many areas, and Restore only did well, I think, in their founding township, I believe, right? I get that right? Forget what it was called now. We covered it. And hopefully, Restore is obviously where it's at, if you've been looking for any type of political interesting option here. But anyway, Green Party did pretty well. And apparently that has to do, in some areas, in some aspects it did well, but that has to do with this Muslim alliance that's happening. But before we get to the Muslim alliance, you have the tranny thing. Now, and I connect this with India as well. Here's the full, this is peak convergence here of all these issues. It's a trans-Indian migrant who won an election here for the Green Party. This thing arrived in the UK a few years ago, not a citizen or permanent resident. How is this even possible? How can they even, is this, okay, whatever. They're not a citizen, not a permanent resident, was elected to the Scottish Parliament as a member of the woke Green Party. Andy Gnu says here, or is it Ngo? Ngo. Scotland allows...
Zionist cucks and $5, one of your cool. Christfag moderators has muted me on Rumble. Unmute me. Also, great show.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you, Zandy. We'll look into that. I'll definitely try to sort that out. It's hard to do while I'm live, but if you play a longer clip, I'll check it out here. Okay, I don't think we had that many mods on Rumble, but okay. We appreciate you. Thank you for the donor. Okay, we'll take care of it. Okay, so let's play the clip here. Q Manivana is set to earn over $100,000 USD despite not having the right to work full-time on his temporary visa. Okay, let's play. Oh, where are we? Here we go. There we are. Immigrant to my pronoun. Ah, got to get to the pronouns, my obviously.
My name is Dr. Q Manivanan. I am a transgender Tamil immigrant to my pronoun.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot to chew on there.
My name is Dr. Q Manivanan. I am a transgender Tamil immigrant to my pronouns. Are they them? I am, to some in this country, everything that the hateful despise, and I'm standing here as your MSP now with care. They say politics is the arch of the possible. A politics of care, I'd say, expands what's possible for everyone left behind, pushed out, or never invited in. A scholar I love called Saidiya Hartman wrote that the holes that bind us are also the bonds that free. Every barrier placed before me with the Greens was the reason also that we pushed further. And this is what diversity looks like in power.
In power. This is what diversity looks like in power. So is this a... not that I care, it doesn't really matter, but what direction is it? Is it from... Does it think it's a man? Because he looks like a man, but he just grew out... I think he probably just grew out his hair long and just say he's a woman or something, right? That's usually what it is, I would assume. All right. Anyway, let me see if I can... Oh, there it is. Hang on. Okay. Anyway, let's play the other one here. We got a couple of more. And I think even the guy in the back... Is he the guy in the background right there? I think he shows up... He shows up later because he also won an election. So we'll get to him in here a moment here too. Okay, all right, Zionist cuck, I think you're unmuted there. This guy is on a temporary 3-year student visa. He just won a 5-year term in the Scottish Parliament. He's currently crowdfunding for another temporary visa. There you go, Q. His name is just Q. LGBTQ. Fuck you. Okay. Let me see here. Here's another one. Let me see here. Reform UK's share vote has dropped by 4. The Greens is up by 7. This is a local area here, right? Maybe if you turn trans like this one below, you'd perhaps have done better. Something to consider next time around. Aaron Browning, Scottish Green candidate for Clydebank Waterfront. Did they win too? Because there's a lot of trannies here in the Green Party. Who knew? And check out that look there too. By the way, it's a beautiful combo. okay, I'm trying to keep up with the chat. What was that, Adam says? When they're obviously at fault, I get. To make more money for Henrik. I'm not sure what that is. Anyway, okay. maybe that. Oh, it was Adam and Adam says things and Zionist cock that disagreement. Please behave and be nice to each other in chat, gentlemen. Don't forget to love each other in chat. Everything's fine. We're not going to solve any grandiose issues in chat. We're all having a good time. We're just hanging out and laughing at trannies together. Okay, it's all good. Make friends. If you're both white, make friends. Okay, it's not hard. All right. Anyway, so yeah, look at that. Look at that. If you need to find, you need to find a girl that looks at you like, oh my gosh, what the hell was his name again? I have it here. Motin Ali, I think it was. Motin Ali, won by Muslim bloc voting in the contested seat. But anyway, here is a little bit of a kind of a where, what's happening. Fine. I'll say though, it's strategically at least, at least it seems that the some of the Muslim are kind of, they're able to play the part and play the role, bite down on the bullet, and just say, you know, soon enough we'll just take over the Green Party. Now, Green Party, what's the attraction for Muslims to the Green Party? And I think it really just comes down to this. It really comes down to the fact, green. I understand green. It's paradise, nature. It's life in the Quran, you see. Why not vote for the Green Party? Okay, so that's the Green Party now, ladies and gentlemen. The unholy. So what's going to happen here with the trannies, right? Are they going to get? When are they going to get booted out, and how violently? Here's Tommy. Here's our buddy Tommy Robinson. Check that out. Shouts of this is just. I mean, it's funny. I think we're allowed to laugh at this. I mean, I'll laugh at anything, but I'm saying they deserve it, right? Not the rest of Britain, but the people in the stupid whites and trannies in the Green Party totally deserves this. Shouts of Allahu Akbar, and this is for Gaza, as Green Party candidate for Gipton and Hare Hills, Mothin Ali won by Muslim bloc voting in the contested seat. Good luck to the people in the area. It's time to get sworn in. Is that from Idiocracy, right?
Is as follows. Mothin Ali, Green Party, 2017. Yeah. Ian Alistair Dalton, Third Unionist and Socialist Coalition, 120. Harith Sain, Labour Party, 2,323.
Yeah.
Thomas Benedict Race, Liberal Democrats, 156. Liam Scott Roberts,
Conservative.
The number of ballots rejected was 42, 17 because there was more than one candidate on the ballot, and 25 were unmarked. I hereby declare Mothin Ali is elected as councillor for Gipton and Hare Ward of Leeds City Council.
Takbir! There he is.
Palestine will be free!
Three years ago,
I started alone, and Allah sent his angels to come and assist me. So, for the community of Hare Hills and Gipton...
Tommy, this is a red meat for Tommy Robinson. Now, of course, look, obviously this is a huge fucking issue and shouldn't be a thing. But the fact that it comes through the Green Party, these trannies and the Green... can't make it up.
Of being let down by the Labour Council, who have been fed up, of being taken for granted. Who have been fed up, because of being taken for granted.
Their main job now is to get the occupiers in Israel out of Palestine. That's these parasitical occupiers' role in the UK now, is to get the occupiers in Palestine out. Okay, just so we're clear on kind of like the dynamics here of what we're looking at. All right, anyway, enough takbir. Greens pledge to topple Labour and stop reform in Exeter. And I think here is a little bit with the tranny flag behind him. Here, it's they just and I genuinely think that they they believe that, like, isn't this wonderful? Isn't this lovely? We've managed to kind of convert them over, even if they do have an understanding in the Green Party of, like, traditionally this kind of, like, oh, they're killing fags, you know, or whatever the kind of accusation is there. In their countries, they throw the fags off of buildings, or, you know, and that's why they're bad, right? Because Western values is to have as many gays around as possible, I guess, or something. But anyway, let's not even get into the dynamics of that whole contradictory circus. But anyway, even if they have an understanding of it, I think this is then a crowning achievement by them that, like, we're doing this. We're uniting everyone, and look at what we're able to. If we're just all pro-Palestinian together or something, we can also have this great alliance with them or something like that. But of course, the active thing here is to be the Green Party. I think they tried to run a Muslim party in the UK, and maybe that still did okay in certain areas, but it doesn't seem to have taken off for some reason. So the pivot, the strategy for now seems to simply just flood the Green Party, bite the bullet for trannies, and at least they're playing a long game, and then just when the time comes, you take it over. You demographically just replace them by voting for your candidates, and eventually the Green Party will be a takbir. The grotty Greens, yet again, yet another trans ID man who thinks being a woman is all about being sexually submissive to other men because it's a fucking fetish. Clard Eden Hills, Little London, and Woodhouse in Leeds. That's the picture of the man in women's clothing next to the other guy who won the election right there. So anyway, good stuff. The Green Party is a front for the Muslim Party in the UK. And tell me, how is this different from anything you hear out of India, by the way? Same shit. Far down. Ooh, nice effect. Lovely. Look at that. Woo, they pause it and just do green around them. Nice. Vote Asfir Asif Rahana, your Green Party candidate for long sight. And I guess it worked. Vote green, ladies and gentlemen. Vote green. Are you getting it yet? They have a strategy, that's for sure, but it's a very primitive reason for why they chose the Green Party, okay? Labor, red, not really our color. Let's do the Green Party. Muslims blitzing UK local elections, splitting between Labour and the new Muslim Green Party with 300-plus running independents. Okay. Let's check it out.
Hi, my name is Aima Ahmed. I'm here with Khalid and Eve. We had an amazing weekend campaigning and doing a door-knocking session.
We've had a good response from residents.
Dinging a door-knocking session.
We've had a good response from residents to the door-knocking we've done. And Ajaib Saab has been kindly been with us today around doing the door-knocking. And he would like to say a few
words.
The
door-knocking, yes.
Yes, Assalamu Alaikum.
Yes, salam alaikum. Oh, it's photographing the garbage there. Yes, that's very Is that a tipped over garbage? Someone dumped a fridge there? Maybe that's where it is. Let's do that in the video. We'll take that. That's a good clip for the promotional.
Thank you guys, and please don't forget to vote on the May the 7th.
Yes.
Please vote Labour, vote for Saima, vote for...
Okay, all right. You get the point. Okay. Okay, we got some more stuff here. Here's three Pakistani Islamists pledged their allegiance to Allah in the Scottish Parliament. Izrad Mahmed, Anas Sarwar, and Zen Ghani. Is there, yes, there's a clip. I think he's the guy we saw in the background there. He just, I don't know, there's something kind of with this burn, got some burn damage or something on his face. I thought I'd recognize that.
Irshad Ahmed, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I, Irshad Ahmed, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance. Do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to His Majesty King Charles, his heirs and successors according to law. To His Majesty King Charles, his heirs and successors according to law. So help me God. So help me God.
What God? What God?
Anas Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Yeah, I think his name was Anas. That's what it sounded like, wasn't it?
Rahmanir Rahim. I, Anas Sarwar, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance. Do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance. To His Majesty King Charles, his heirs and successors according to law. To His Majesty King Charles, his heirs and successors according to law.
I don't know, look down a little bit there. The first part, it was fine. I mean, it's a cold body language reading here.
I, Anas Sarwar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I, Anas Sarwar, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance. Do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance.
It's like to His Majesty King. He's got kind of a lying phenotype. You know what I mean? Like an untrustworthy face. Yeah.
Charles, his heirs and successors, according to law. To His Majesty King Charles, his heirs and successors, according to law. So help me God. So help me God.
I, Zengani.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. I, Zengani.
Do swear that I'll be faithful and bear true allegiance.
Do swear that I will be faithful.
You're watching extinction level takeover in slow motion. I mean, it's going pretty fast, but like, here's a few more seats, a few more seats, a few more seats, a few more seats, and eventually, these people will vote and pass a parliamentary decree that you and your kids are going to be fucked. Okay, and they're coming for you. That's how they do.
To His Majesty King Charles, his heirs and successors, according to law.
To His Majesty King Charles, his heirs and successors, according to law.
But they organize. They get together. They vote for their fucking guy. They come out. They do shit. White people, for the most part, they're all fucking just nagging at each other, infighting, bickering. And again, I'm not a huge believer that somehow it's going to be saved through the political system. But clearly, they as a minority can come into our parliaments, they can get positions, they can get seats, they get them elected, they start influencing, they start changing things, and they get more of their people there. We as a majority in our country, still like overall, at least those who have interest in preserving the country overall, are obviously not desperate enough yet. It's obviously not bad enough yet for us to actually get off our asses and do some of this shit. Again, it's not just about politics here. I'm talking about many, many other things, right? But just the constant drama and the infighting and the bickering and the me shit and then the my emotions and not being able to put your shit to the side for the greater good. And it's like impossible for some goddamn reason for even people who have an understanding that we need to collectivize to actually collectivize for the most part. So far, it's going to have to get worse. I guess that's just what this is. Going to learn the lesson the real fucking hard way. We're going to be right up against the edge, right against the wall, teetering on the brink, hanging by a fucking root on the cliff before we get our fucking shit together and act together. Oh, all right. Here we go. Here's another victory speech, I guess, in bing-lingy-dingy speech.
Oh, and I think it speaks for itself.
Assalamu alaikum. আমি সবাইকে অনুরোধ জানাচ্ছি আমার বাংলাদেশি কমিউনিটি যারা এই নিউ হোমে বসবাস করেন সবাইকে
Now I didn't catch a word of that, but I'm assuming it meant vote for the Green Party, and I think it speaks for itself.
Okay, what's the word doing? All right. Okay. This is kind of funny. This is hilarious though, regarding the the Green Party stuff. You can't make this up. Here's a new a green councillor here that was elected. Now his name is let me see, I had it here somewhere. Oh, did I not? I didn't put it in the post. Okay, let's read it in the story here then. Fury as brazen new Green Party councillor shares video of himself driving a gas guzzling Lamborghini days after the election. Baghdadi Khan, also known as Baghi Khan, new councillor for Halliwell in Bolton, posted a video to his Instagram and TikTok despite his party's plans to slash speed limits and attacks drivers. This is the tacky Muslim shit that just straight into like ghetto culture. Anyway, check this. Here's the clip here. Of course, the music. Is that two tracks of something on top of each other? I think that's two, whoever did the video. There's two. Why have one song when you can have two songs in the video? Am I right? More is more, and it's better. Look at that face. Look at that fucking face. Look at these people.
Easy now, mashallah. Big lineup.
There's all their cars. Well, yep, he won his election. Today is election day. Vote the Greens. Vote Green Party. There we go. There he is right there. Driving, pulling up in his badass his orange Lamborghini. Oh, my gosh. It's just so tacky and just like this ghetto trash, tacky Muslim shit. And they love it. They think this is awesome. But that's how they get it.
Spithos sent $20. The Nick Fuentes subversion of our movement involving attacking Jake Shields and others needs to be covered. These people are being paid by someone. It goes beyond petty infighting.
Yeah, I mean, we've covered Nick Fuentes, and anything he says, he's a fag and a spurg and a weirdo. And a Mexican, and that's really it. I think the last time we covered him was stop covering him. I was just stop talking about him. Like, let Randy Fine talk about Nick Fuentes. Let oh my gosh, what's his name again? And again, to desperately give him the credibility that he need. Let Dr. Gorka bring up like Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes over and over again as their big bad guy that they can talk to. So if anyone feels that they have any type of issue with the establishment, then those are your bad guys that you're allowed to go to. I think the main issue is just stop talking about him. What's the point? But of course, that's what these influencers do. It's all about them. E-drama, and instead of like looking at shit, and I know we kind of laughing at this and have a good time a little bit too, but I think we can do that in between stuff. Laugh at the absurdity at it. But what influencers do, speaking to your comment there, is that they just all talk about each other all the fucking day. And just e-drama and just keep you occupied with just random shit that doesn't really motivate you or inspire you or get you off your ass to do something. It's just petty fucking gay drama, basically. That's what it is. That's why we engage in it as little as... We make comments here and there, and we talk about someone's shitty take. Like, can we kind of smack them in place a little bit? Does that work? You know, kind of thing. But a guy like Nick Fuentes, a Mexican... No, we gave up on him a decade ago, or whatever, five years at least ago. So, yeah, no, I just stop talking about it, move on, and cover shit that matters. About our countries are taking over, as opposed to like what Nick Fuentes said about Jake Shields. Jake Shields is welcome on the show. He can come on and talk to us if he wants to. I generally like Jake. Okay, yeah, here's Baggy Khan. Okay, more trannies. They're vowing, the Scottish Greens are vowing to support trans MSP with visa renewals. There's this massive movement here where the Spiteful Mutants is doing everything they can to grow their ranks and to multiply, essentially. In some cases, I think they'll be successful with it. But it's been so hard that they have to pivot towards the Muslim population. And it's going to be interesting what happens, because I think this is an unholy alliance, obviously, that's going to crack in a either violent or hilarious way at some point, and we'll see which side wins out here. My suspicion is the Muslims are probably going to be better organized and probably more disciplined than the Spiteful Mutant trannies. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's probably how this is going to shake out, to be honest. So we'll see how it is. But it's interesting how these new political allegiances occur in order to kind of continue the circus. I thought that they would pivot towards a strictly Islamist party in the UK, but maybe it's too early and they just need something that's already kind of well-established or whatever. I think there's similar things in like in Sweden have tried to do that as well. Various parties like liberals or Green Party or even obviously the Social Democrats are trying desperately to pivot to the new migrant populations. And the large majority of those, of course, are Muslims, Arabs, right? All right. Here's some Jeet stuff. Check this out here. Jeets in Portugal. Indians come to Portugal and then protest to bring in more Indians. So it's the Indian menace, I think, is it's not underestimated, maybe. A lot of people cover it, but people don't understand like just how many people there are there and why our elites, our establishment essentially favors them as the choice of population group to replace us with. And I think it has to do with that, just the sheer slavish type of conditions that these people are willing to be in and live in and work under in order to keep this system going for them, essentially. And whites are generally just like unreliable, you know what I mean, to them. Whites protest, they don't maybe, as I've said before, not to contradict myself, maybe not the greatest at organizing yet, but I think they understand the potential of that danger, right? They understand that. Okay. Anyway, here's Portugal. Who knew? Portugal. Indians in Portugal. Wasn't that where that was named? Tyler Oliveira was... He went to try to go to Portugal to film some of this, I believe. He was banned from Israel, too, I think. But anyway, let's check it out. Every goddamn country they come to. Portugal. Like I knew there was like a lot of migrants in Portugal, but like but Indians, sure, like, of course, why not? Yep, there you go. There it is. Croatia. This is the new Croatia. Zagreb has been flooded with Indian and Bangladeshi migrants. Who knew? Like every fucking country. Look at this. What is the second flag on there, by the way? Is that Bangladesh? Is that what that is? Yeah, it's Bangladesh, right? Of course, they're like Jeets at a Croatian discotheque. Of course, because why not, right? I mean, it looks like it's colder. Maybe this is shot a while ago. Oh, New Year. It says right there in the text. Yeah. So someone's re-uploading this. But still, no fucking idea that this. I thought Croatia was fairly good on some of these issues. Again, I guess you know, the based southeast drift has already. That's correct. Croatia has already left the building. On that front. Oh yeah, Kevin, yeah, a global bioweapon. Croatian girl in Zagreb beats a foreigner after he tries to steal her purse. Passers-by had to pull her away. Good on you, girl. Why did they pull her away, though? They should have helped her. Obviously. I don't know. Some people said there was video of this, too. I'm not sure that it was, right? No. Anyway, I'm reading your super chat again here, Spethos. The Nick Fuentes subversion of our movement involving attacks on Jay Shields and other needs to be covered. But he's not, I mean, he's not part, there is no movement with a Nick Fuentes, do you see what I'm saying? And even if he, any of the people who align himself with him at this point is not part of your movement. And so therefore there is no subversion of the movement. What you do is you ignore it and you move on. It's basically just a bunch of nonce and weirdos that he has part of his movie. I don't know anyone sensible and that I genuinely like and respect that is like now, today. There's some outliers, maybe like right on the kind of periphery, and I just kind of avoid it with them or whatever. But we're not totally in the same wheelhouse on all issues either, by the way. But anyway, there's no one I really can think of that I respect that like think he does good work or something like that. You know what I mean? Like most people that I know have just moved on and therefore he can do whatever. But you don't understand. They thrive on you constantly just talking about them. This is no different than a clavicular or, oh my gosh, Andrew Tate or whatever the fuck it is, Sneeko or some, you know, some shit. It's just that's what they thrive on. You covering them continuously and what they talk about. So no, but I appreciate the support. I appreciate the concern, but Jake Shields will be fine. Okay, Ukrainian men are beginning to realize that they're being replaced. More and more videos of Indian male migrants roaming around in the center of Kiev are being posted on Ukrainian Telegram channels. We told you about this, that this was what was going to happen, right? In Ukraine, sadly. And I'm not the one who's like happy to report that we were correct about that. But yeah, just random browns now loitering in places like Kiev. Ukraine. Indians are fighting each other in western Ukraine while local men hide at home from mobilization. Unimaginable not long ago, but now it's just another day. We should send these people to the front. But they're not doing that, are they? For some interesting reason. Well, why is that? Because these are the guys there to replace the Ukrainians that have been killed in the meat grinder set up by neocons like Victoria Nuland and John McCain and Lindsey Graham and, you know, all the other people psyoping Ukraine. They're so disagreeable, these people. No one wants to be around them. And so people just retreat and move away. They move from that area of the town because they just can't stand being around them anymore. And then a year or two later, there they are, right next to you again, doing the same goddamn thing. They're just so disagreeable. They're all so disagreeable and difficult to be around. Whites are just so nice and, for the most part, easy to be around. Not every single case, maybe, but for the most part, right? That's why they want to be in our countries. So Jeets everywhere. Portugal, Croatia, Ukraine. We got one Jeets before we get sores here. How about Jeets in the South? Southern Living magazine. with Manit Chauhan. Manit Chauhan. Being a southerner means having a heart which permeates into everything that you do. With the people that you meet, with every project you take up, with each conversation that you have, there is soul and there is depth. Welcome to Southern Living. There we go. Isn't that wonderful? It's all inclusive. That's the South now, ladies and gentlemen. And this is like, what is this, Nashville? Yeah, exactly, Nashville. Isn't that like, are there any Southerners actually true to the term left in Nashville anymore? Yeah, we went through there. What's that? When did we go through Nashville? Gosh, 2 years ago? Maybe it's 3 years ago now. Something like that. And it was like, I couldn't believe. Dig in the impressions. Yeah, it's not my best one. That's kind of, anyway. A true Southern belle. That's right. Exactly. What do you think of the South? This isn't really what you think about. It's real. That's it. Money chow ha hun. It's just, hi, howdy y'all. Oh my gosh. All right, anyway, speaking of disagreeable people, when did you get a load of this guy? You know who this is? Yes, it's the boy Soros here with his whiny, nasally voice who is doing more of the Nazism that the Soros family is known for. Remember, he was helping the Nazis. George Soros is really, and he hates Israel. He doesn't really identify as a Jew. You know, remember all those things? Yeah, anyway, here he is.
As the son of a Holocaust survivor and a Jew, I am acutely aware of the dangers of anti-Semitism. I'm also proudly married to a Muslim American.
Ooh.
Discrimination and hate are an abstract.
Oh, terminated ethnic line. How about that? So he's two in one. Double victim. So let's... Okay, anyway, let's hear him out.
Proudly married to a Muslim American. Discrimination and hate aren't abstract concepts to me or my family. They're deeply personal and have been persistent throughout our lives. Today, the Open Society Foundations are committing $30 million to organizations fighting anti-Semitism and anti-Muslim hate around the United States and across.
Only 30 million? Man, rookie numbers. Not even impressive. Okay, 30 million?
Hate around the United States and across the world. At a moment like this, we need to stand together and act. Mm. This investment is about stand keeping together. People safe and pushing back against hate.
Was that...
Hi.
How many times do you think you did that?
Hi, I'm Alex Soros. As the son of a Holocaust survivor...
He just managed to smile right at the beginning.
Hi, I'm Alex Soros. As the son of a...
And then as it goes on towards the end, he's just like he's drifting.
Keeping people safe and pushing back against hate. Hi.
Okay. Anyway, which basically means fuck whitey, right? That's the translation. It basically means it's whites that are anti-Semites and anti-Muslims, right? That's the call. You exclude... the protected groups, it's only one left, and that's whitey. So $30 million in fuck you whitey money from the Soros Foundation. Remember, and here's the guy here too, remember, I think I linked that up, right? And this was in reply to all the accusations that was made about how the Soros family was really, they were really bad, and they were Nazis, and all that kind of stuff, right? And basically, Alex Soros, in an interview, we kind of slipped up on this, where he said that his father always identified firstly as a Jew. His philanthropy was ultimately an expression of his Jewish identity, in that he felt a solidarity with other minority groups, and also because he recognized that a Jew could only truly be safe in a world in which all minorities were protected. See how this works? Why does Jews advocate for open borders? Well, because now they're just one group among many, and it takes the eyes off of them. And so it's a survival instinct for them to lobby for open borders. It's not just that they're like, I mean, they're replacing us and getting rid of us too. That's true, right? And they make money on it, even as you saw in the other clip, that they make money housing them and importing them and stuff like that. And then they can empty them out of the countries that Israel is at war with, for example, for the Greater Israel Project. So there's multiple facets of just a win-win scenario for them in every kind of, in every way, right? Explaining his father motives, he said, the reason you fight for an open society is because that's the only society you can live in as a Jew, unless you become a nationalist and only fight for your own rights in your own state, which they do in Israel, obviously, then, right? So this is why they are successful in terms of the strategy of keeping an open society, a closed society where you protect and guard, they do bad. Okay, they do badly. They are not performing as well. They might be targeted more, or at least under scrutiny, found out in terms of some of the activities. In an open, so-called open society, there's no protection for us, and everything is there. There's no rules in place whatsoever. So that's why they thrive in those conditions. Okay. Anyway, speaking of Israel here. Did you guys see this one? This is actually quite something here. The IDF are now getting dead Americans' bodies that were meant to go to medical research and training for people at universities. I think this is the University of Southern California in this case. But of course, it was eventually passed down via the U.S. Navy to the IDF. Listen to this.
Something disturbing is taking place at this U.S. university. Bodies donated for scientific research are being sold to the U.S. Navy and ending up in the hands of Israeli military surgeons.
I looked at the federal contract and I typed in the University of Southern California, the Department of Defense, and IDF. It popped up.
What popped up?
Cadaver for IDF training.
And the donors had no idea this could be their fate. Neither did their loved ones.
I just got sick to my stomach. They have misled people.
I say shame on the schools. Shame on everyone who's involved in this.
I don't want to give my body to the IDF.
A long-standing exchange between the University of Southern California, the U.S. Navy, and Israeli military medics stayed largely hidden until a student investigation broke the story. The students revealed university contracts with the Navy to provide training for Israeli military medics in California.
USC is the only
only university in the U.S. that appears to have a contract with the IDF mentioned in it.
If you're a potential donor, you don't have any knowledge that your body could be used potentially for training by the Israeli military.
This is an army that is actively involved in a genocide and ethnic cleansing. It's horrifying. These things shouldn't be normal.
So what are they, watch the entire film on YouTube, okay? I just might. What are they using the bodies for? Building like cool cyber robots, transhuman golems? What are they, I don't mean to belittle this, this is quite creepy actually. I don't know, frankly, I don't know why anyone up there, if one of your parents die, would you really want to donate the body to medical research? I don't know, it's just, no, why? You know what I mean? Why? But anyway, so they ended up in the hands of the U.S. Navy, and then they turns out we don't need it. Obviously, we'll give it to the IDF. Kind of makes sense, right? That makes sense. All right. Latest on the insider trading. We've covered this, and we've told you about this, and we've said it many, many times, that the back and forth on the war in Iran, the Hormuz stuff, is prime for the casino-like conditions that the White House administration is now taking on this, when insider information can be used very early or quickly by people in the know, the right people in the Lutnick-adjacent Epstein establishment, essentially, acted on, and thereby you can make billions on just news coming out about a updated government policy or even a Truth Social post, right? Anyway, here's Max Blumenthal. He generally does good things. I'm not sure personally like his views on some things, but he obviously journalistically like he's okay. I mean, he does good work, right? For the most part, let's check it in.
The winners of this war are the people who placed $920 million in crude oil shorts just 70 minutes before Axios Access reporter Barak Ravid published news of a new 14-point proposal stirring false hope in a possible deal between the U.S. and Iran. He is the main dump for leaks from Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner, and Donald Trump, who are cashing in on the war. And one insider made a $125 million profit. Now Barak Ravid is finally getting exposed as the main reporter to manipulate markets by the Trump administration to make what is at least $2.8 billion in insider trading since this war began. And the Beltway press corps is circling the wagons to defend Ravid, a former Israeli intelligence officer who does not disclose his IDF background on his Axios bio, to prevent the U.S. media from reporting on one of the biggest scandals in access journalism inside the Beltway since I can remember.
How about that? Axios reporter. Let me pull up. I think I had the story here, too. Barak Ravid. What do you know about this guy? And of course, former, you can argue. Are you ever a former anything when it comes to Intel, right? Probably not. Just unbelievable what gets to fly, right? Barak Ravid. And of course, he was given a presidential medal. I don't think I have the tweet here, but he was given a presidential medal for great coverage by the Biden administration. I think that was after October 7th, by the way. So he's the kind of guy who's getting awards for his work. So that's totally fine. That's not an issue. That's not a corruption issue that needs to be addressed or something that the administration can tackle. No, in fact, the China thing, I'll be somewhat quick about this, but Eric Trump, I didn't know about this, right? How Eric Trump became an ally of one of China's biggest crypto companies. And apparently there's more security issues here because they keep bringing this up of like China is the enemy and we're trying to compete with them and AI. And I know Trump is over there right now. But anyway, Eric didn't already have a partnership with a shady Chinese crypto company. Eric's very own grifty crypto scheme, American Bitcoin Corp. Wow, such a branding. Has a partnership with the Chinese Bitcoin mining rig manufacturer Bitmain. Bitmain has been under the radar of a national security investigation in the U.S. for months, in part over concerns that Bitmain computers could be controlled remotely from China. Senate Republicans on the Intelligence Committee issued a breathless report just last July, saying that there were, quote, concerned that Chinese-owned cryptocurrency mining facilities inside of the United States pose a danger to national security. Located throughout the 50 states and equipped with machinery made by Bitmain, a privately owned Chinese company with ties to the CCP. These mines are located near sensitive defense installations or critical U.S. infrastructure such as power grids, creating several disturbing vulnerabilities, apparently. Here's the report here. The U.S. Senate Select and Committee on Intelligence report to accompany intelligence authorization for 2026. And if you search for Bitmain, it shows up kind of halfway through the doc. The committee is concerned with Chinese-owned cryptocurrency mining facilities inside of the United States. Equipment with machinery made by Bitmain, a privately owned Chinese company with ties to the CCP. So this is just lip service then. Because apparently Trump, Eric went with Trump over to the China visit, right? To work on some of the business deals. And this is apparently part of the whole scheme on the back end. Which is not a big surprise, essentially, right? It's not a big surprise at all. I'm not surprised by it. But it's interesting how it's all just bullshit, right? It feels like. Rev up some fake concern about China or something. And then your members of your family will run potentially compromised Bitcoin mining equipment near U.S. security and installations and military installations and stuff like that. I don't know. It's just because, of course, right? Bitmain has been dodged for years by questions about the security of its mining rigs, but that doesn't stop it from going into business with a key member of the first family. Okay. All right. So, I think you guys saw this, but just a little quick here, quick summary. We're going to wrap up here soon, but I have a couple more things I'm going to cover here. Hey, guys, if you like the show, support it, please. It's the only way we can stay alive and do what we do. DonorBox.org/RedEyesTips, Ko-Fi.com/RedEyesTips. You can do Power Chat as well. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for the donos, everyone. Helps us tremendously. Thank you to all the members, by the way, new members coming in. We appreciate you guys. Obviously, all the regulars that stay with us, we appreciate you guys tremendously as well. Many, many thanks. We appreciate it greatly. So shout out to all our members and the regulars and everyone who's supporting Red Eyes so we can continue to do this. We appreciate you. If you like what we do, if you like the show, it's only one way we can continue, and that's with your support. So please do consider supporting the show if you appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Now for the grifting, eh? Enough of the grifting. All right. Anyway, it's just the truth, ladies and gentlemen. That's how it goes. Okay, so how much money? It's very hard to... is there any available report or summary how much towns, cities, counties, or states actually donate, give, or invest in Israel? Outside of course, the federal aid money and militarily, financial aid, all these things, right? It's, what, $300 billion now totaling or something like that officially, right? But that's federal. So it's very hard. There's a lack of these local and state-level financial aid reports to Israel outside of federal funding. Donations are typically decentralized, private, or indirect. Most comprehensive analysis of taxpayers' contributions come from organizations like the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, which calculate, okay, this is actually giving a different result than I did on when I Googled this earlier, which calculated how much local federal tax dollars rather than local municipal funds contribute to Israeli military financing. But even development aid, investments, I'm not sure if they summarize all of that. Foreignassistance.gov database provides a breakdown of U.S. Well, that's federal aid again. That's federal aid. So that's what we're looking for. So you can go through state by state. Okay. Yeah, so February 2026, the state of Texas holds approximately $280 million in Israel bonds, making it the second largest U.S. state investor in these securities. This investment is part of a long-term strategy with total trade between Texas and Israel reaching $4 billion in 2024. And this doesn't, I mean, there's small towns and stuff. They're like giving Israel money, like millions of dollars and stuff. Like, and they just like, Yeah, okay. So I'm reading your chats at the same time. It's just it's like hard to get an there should be some tool, you think, that you can like condense and aggregate like all this data, right? How much it actually is. But it seems to indicate then that even the discussion we had in the last stream about Netanyahu and even Randy Fine talking about how they're interested in cutting off U.S. federal fund to Israel probably doesn't include stuff like this. Here's California. Based on 2024 to 2026 reports, California taxpayers contributed approximately $610 million to $690 million annually in federal tax dollars that are allocated towards U.S. military aid for Israel. California! Additional California-based public pension funds and municipal portfolios have substantial investment in Israel-linked companies and bonds. Holy shit. Los Angeles, $50 million, San Diego, $18 million, San Francisco, $13 million, San Jose, $11 million, almost $12 million. It just keeps coming. Municipal local investments, direct economic ties, right? Billions and billions. Okay. How much money does the state of New York give to Israel? As of May 2026, the state of New York, primarily through its Common Retirement Fund, holds significant investment in Israel, which at a total value in Israeli government bonds estimated to be around $340 to $368 million. In addition to these bond holdings, the state pension fund has previously held over $1 billion in other Israeli-related assets, including equities and private equity investments. I think I did one more. Florida. Let's see. Okay. I got to sort this out with the chat later here. All right. Okay. As of early 2026, the state of Florida, along with its counties and municipalities, had invested $1.35 billion in Israeli bonds, making it one of the largest investors in the country, with Palm Beach holding the title of the world's largest municipal investor in Israeli debt. Palm Beach County. Look at that. Interesting, isn't it? Okay. Interesting. Okay. How much money is going to Israel? Well, at this point, we'll never know. We don't know. It's maybe not impossible to find out. We'll go through, maybe see if they have any data on this here, the methodology from the U.S. campaign for Palestinian rights, and see what comes out of that. And we might cover the issue of the Hungarian parliament, what they're doing there with the EU freaks. In tomorrow's show, because it's dragging on a little bit here. So we're going to start wrapping up here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Hope you appreciate the show. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll enjoy hanging out with you guys. It was a good time. Thank you so much for joining us here this Thor's Day. Always a pleasure. Appreciate you, boys and girls. Tune in tomorrow then for Flashback Friday, as usual. We go live around 5 p.m. Eastern. You can join us then. That's 2300 hours Central European Time, 11 in the evening. Tune in for that. Lana will be joining me tomorrow. We have some good topics lined up that you definitely don't want to miss. So tune in for that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you to our executive producers. We appreciate you. You're the ones who make this show possible. All you supporters do, members, executive producers, super chatters, donors. We appreciate you guys. So shout out to our white heroes here right at the end of the show. As always, Arctic Wolf, King Albert. Thank you, man. We appreciate you so much. So good to see you as always. William Fox from America First Books. We have Angry White Soccer Mom. Thank you for your support. We appreciate you. We got Purple Haze as well. Thank you. Thank you. We have Glenn. We appreciate you as well. Thank you for your support. We got President Obunga as one of our executive producers as well. Thank you. Good Luck Lap. We appreciate your support. Number One Jeebs. Thank you for being an executive producer together with Hungarian Mom. Thank you to the fam. We appreciate you guys. We got Sun Destroyer 520. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate you. We got the Deplorable Extraordinaire as well. Appreciate you. Thank you. Santoso. Thank you. Appreciate you guys. We got the Boo Man. Thank you, Boo Man. Much appreciated. Thank you for joining us as an executive producer, together with Charles Turner Jr. Good to see you in chat today, sir. We got DJ Snow Snow. Thank you for your support. Much appreciated. And we got Bertrand, Comparé as well. Thank you for joining us. Much appreciated. Our producers, Yuan Song, Leo Demand, Eyes Open, Single Action Army, Lord HP Lovecraft. We have Trevor, Der Schwabe, Alcyon, Aurelian, Perfect Brute, Greg M, J Bar, Chris W, Skarzinski, Muskrat, Centurion, Scott James Henderson, Deer in the Headlights, Hadrian, Ernst Jaeger. Thank you guys. Appreciate it so much. Hey, if you want a shout out at the end of the show, get your name in the credits, get a special shout out from us and thanks here at Red Ice, and help us grow and expand at the same time, consider getting a producer or executive producer tier at redicemembers.com or subscribestar.com/redice. I know we got a spot for you right there, and it's calling your name. Don't be shy. It's a great way to support us as well. All right. Check out lanaslama.com, obviously, if you want some Red Ice merch. We got some good stuff for you guys over there. Hats, hoodies, T-shirts, mugs, keychains, some other stuff as well. It's a very great way to help us out, and we appreciate you guys. So thank you. Check that out. You can reach it at redice.tv/store as well, or simply through lanaslama.com. All right, so I think that's it for us today, then, this Thursday. Appreciate you guys. We will be back here in a little bit with Flashback Friday. Tune in for that. Join us for that. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great evening. And wherever you are, folk first, as always. Stay white. We'll see you later. Now, do make sure that you follow us on our Rumble channel for more Red Ice TV on Rumble.com or on X at Red Ice TV. You can, of course, go to redice.tv as well. Tune in to our live streams and shows, Flashback Friday, live on Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern. No-Go Zone Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern. We also do interviews, videos, clips, and Western Warrior is available Tuesdays, exclusive for our supporters and subscribers at redicemembers.com or on our locals, redicetv.locals.com or subscribestar.com/redice. Get a membership, check out everything that we do, and support the show.